get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangements, makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide for life. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
Hello, hello, and good evening to each and every one of you. Welcome to this session of Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio. I am your host, C. Maria Wall. And some of you that are on the line and coming into the chat room, well, I've already told you that we have a very special guest tonight speaking about a very serious topic. But to add more to tonight's show, if I sound a little bit winded, I've been under the weather for a while now, and as it turns out, tonight's guest is also ill, and one of her children is ill too. So we're going to try to make it through the show tonight. So I cut our intro music, of course. It's called Good Music by Tori Lee. I cut that short this evening because we're going to try to make it through this abbreviated version of Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio. And before we get started and I forget, I'd like to send out a very special happy birthday wish to Sister Tina Hobson. As many of you know, she is my co-host on our Friday night Faith and Praise show that airs at 9 p.m. on Friday evenings. Three Fridays out of the month. So with that said, let me tell you a little bit about Ashley and her mission. Poets Against Bullying is about advocating, educating, standing out, researching, and keeping each of us in the loop about community awareness of bullying, traumatizing events, through book sales, bullyware, poetry slams, and other activities throughout our communities in the United States and abroad. They recognize and participate in events to allow us to see communities coming together in an effort to support understanding and acknowledgement of bullying, abuse, and anything that can be recognized as a trauma or abusive bullying behavior and harassment. Ashley and her group also promote and support overcomers and achievers who share their success stories and those who are on the rise, who are proving that bullying and abuse will not stop them or us from succeeding and accomplishing our dreams. So with that said, we are about to welcome Ashley Love to Healing Through Hurt. Good evening, my sister Ashley. This has been a long time coming.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing because we already know we're all sick.
Yes, ma'am. I'm doing pretty good. I'm making it. I'm making it. You know, with the power of prayer, you know, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, yes, most definitely prayer. And our God is an awesome God, too. So, as
oh, yes,
I said, you know, we're going to have a God-awesome show. For whatever time we have this evening, we're going to have a God-awesome show. So welcome to all of our guests.
I'm excited.
Yes, to all of our guests and the call query, thank you so much for joining me here this evening with my special guest, Ashley Love. And I'm going to tell you, Ashley, bullying, you know, a lot of people look at it as though it's something that only happens in schools with younger people, but I found that bullying happens in the workplace. It happens within families. It happens among adults. How many videos have we seen on YouTube in places where parents are bullying kids at their children's school and egging on their children to get involved as well?
Yes.
So tell me, how did you get involved with bullying and the advocacy of it?
Well, it all started, you know, as a child, I got bullied a lot because I was always more developed than the other kids, and I always made, you know, good grades, so I was the teacher's pet. And so it all started when I was younger, and I went through a lot of stuff with peer pressure. And I didn't really have the confidence in myself that I needed to kind of fight against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day last year, me and the other co-founder of Poets Against Bullying, Chantel Chu, me and her were sitting in a coffee shop, and we wanted to do something for the community here with poetry. And we got to talking about it. We were going to do a generalized group to kind of bring all the poets in the area here in Louisiana together. And that night was the same day that the girl, she climbed up the water tower because she was being bullied by the
mm-hmm.
girls in school online and jumped off and ended up committing suicide. And that night it just came to me that was my vision. I wanted to do something on bullying and on abuse because we look at it as such a, you know, a lot of people that I talk to are like, oh, yeah, you know, I got bullied. You know, bullying isn't really anything, but it really is. It's a very big, big issue going on right now. And not only bullying, like you said, in the schools, but once
mm-hmm.
we started the organization, I started finding out from people that would contact me that they were being bullied in the workplace. And I had one lady when I first started that said, you know, Ashley, I don't even want to go to work anymore. It's gotten
right.
so bad that one of my managers, you know, has been bullying me. And, you know, I don't want to go to work. I can't lose my job. And all
right.
of the people that are higher than him are kind of in cahoots with him. And so after, you know, it was confirmation after confirmation after the organization was started that we were doing the right thing. And so I'm just, you know, I'm so excited that it's really taking off, and, you know, I'm excited to be part of such an amazing organization of people.
Wow, and we already have comments coming in. Sister Tina Hobson writes, praying that you and your family feel better soon.
Oh, thank you.
But I tell you, I'm pretty sure you know on Facebook we have one of our fellow sisters, comedian Miss Woody. She also had gone through that with her former employer at the United States Postal Service. She was bullied and harassed and attacked by members of management there. And I can attest to that the workplace is a very hostile place for some people, and it does happen, and I believe that our children are learning what they see at home in many cases. And some, of course, join the bandwagon to keep the bullies from messing with them. So what are some of the things that your organization have done recently to reach out to the communities, and what are some of the things that communities can do right now, right here, today, to start their programs against bullying?
Well, the first thing that we're really working on is we've got a book coming out, Fearless Poets Against Bullying, which features authors all over the world, as far as England and Africa, and of different age groups. And what we just talked about the different age groups from when they're younger to when they're an adult,
mm-hmm.
The book is going to bridge that gap on how
right.
bullying and abuse affects people throughout their lives, you know, and if it's not faced when they're a child, then those feelings, you know, get even more bitter as they, you know, go throughout their adulthood. And so that's one of the things. We've got many different poems and stories in the book that will talk about, you know, how they dealt with it, how they overcame it, the feelings that they felt. And we've got children in it as young as 8 years old talking about what they've gone through. And so that's one of the things we're doing. That's going to come out on April the 30th. And then we've also started creating a program that we're going to launch to go into the schools, starting in the area here in Louisiana, and then moving outward to the schools and the community to bring, you know, knowledge and attention towards bullying and talk to the kids about it. And then there will be support groups in each of the schools and each of the communities for the kids and adults to go and talk about their experiences and see, you know, the best ways to cope with their current situations. We also are working on doing open mic nights across the country. Some mm-hmm. of the poets featured in the book, as well as other pretty well-known poets, are going to be going around and, again, telling their stories and basically speaking up. Our mission is to speak up and reach out with spoken word so we can get the message out there that bullying, you know, is a serious issue and, you know, and help others find ways that they can, you know, that they can go against bullying and help their own community.
Truly. And we have comments coming in the Facebook events page. Faith, a Believer, she writes, bullying can take many forms, but it usually includes the following types of behavior: physical, such as hitting, kicking, pinching, punching, scratching, spitting, or any other form of physical attack. Verbal, of course, name-calling, insulting, making racist, sexist, or homophobic jokes. These are just some of the examples. She wrote a wonderful, wonderful piece in the Facebook event page that people, if you're on the Facebook event page, you can see her response in its entirety. Indirect, which is spreading nasty stories about someone. Exclusion from social groups, being made the subject of malicious rumors. Cyberbullying, a big one, huge one. Text message bullying, picture video clip bullying via mobile phone cameras. Phone call bullying, which of course is telephone misuse. That's a federal offense, by the way. Email bullying, chat room bullying, bullying through instant messaging, bullying via websites. And this is just a synopsis of what Faith, a Believer, posted for us in the Facebook events page. So, you know, have you found that most bullies have an underlying story, because a lot of times we've heard that old adage that hurt people hurt people. Do you find that the majority of the times that these children do have some type of underlying, or these individuals, we'll just say these individuals have some type of underlying issue that makes them want to lash out against people who, in most cases, are weaker or viewed to be weaker than they are?
I have found that to be true. In a lot of cases, and a lot of people that I've talked to, that the person that did the bullying, you know, has either, they've either been bullied or abused themselves, and now they want to take it out on someone else so that they get the power, and they, mm-hmm. you know, I even had one bully contact me and tell me it made him feel good. It made him feel good to finally be the one on the other side of it. You know, instead of being the one that's sitting there crying and hurt, he actually finally got the power in it. And I also find that they have low confidence in themselves.
Right.
You know, and that's another major issue that I find with bullying on both sides of it. You know, is that they have low self-esteem, low confidence, and they end up either taking it out on someone else or mm-hmm. they're the one being bullied, and they don't have the confidence to stand up for themselves against their bullier. And so that's one of the reasons here in the area I've also started a group of building confidence. It's going to be starting probably in late April. And it's going to give, there's going to be a kids class and an adults class as well. And it'll give them the tools to build confidence in their lives to where they can stand up and they don't feel the need, you know, to have to bully someone else. Because when you feel comfortable with yourself, then you don't have that need because, you know, you're confident. You're confident in where you're going and you don't have time for that. And so
right.
that's what I found, and hopefully, you know, this support group and class will help, you know, build some of the individuals up that they really need it.
Do you find that, you know, we were just speaking about the young lady who jumped from the tower. A lot of times, I know when I was growing up, and this was years ago, and a lot of years at that, there was bullying then, and to come home, and when I'd come home and try to talk about it to my mom, she'd just give me like the four-finger hand flicker and tell me, just ignore him, just go away. And to go to school every day and be harassed and attacked, and to come home and get the four-finger hand flicker and be totally dismissed. Do you think that this is twofold, so to speak, because a lot of times I'm finding that the parents don't get it until something has happened.
Yes, yes, until it's too late or almost too late. And, you know, I find that as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've had kids that I've talked to and mentored that have told me, you know, when I talk to my mom, she's like, you know what, you just ignore it. You just deal with it. It's something that's always gone on, and it's going to continue to go on your whole life. Or they tell you to suck it up.
Right.
Suck it up. It's okay. Be stronger. But you've got to teach these kids how to go about it, how to stand up. You know, it's not, you know, going to school and beating up, you know, other people. It is, you know, again, going back to gaining confidence in yourself and them knowing their worth. You know, a lot of them that I have dealt with, you know, don't really have great home lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they go to school and they're being bullied on top of it, it's knocking their self-esteem down even more. They don't
right.
have people telling them, you know, you're beautiful. You are loved. You know, you are worth more than dealing with this.
Right.
They don't have that. And so that's another thing, is to bring, you know, positivity to these kids that really do need it, and they're not getting it at home. You know, their parents are saying, oh, go do your homework, leave me alone, you know, or, you know, and so.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have the comments are coming in. Tina Hobson writes, bullying is a dis-ease, and it is. It really is. It takes away the ease of life. It takes away our self-worth, our self-esteem. We go from low self-esteem to no self-esteem.
To no self-esteem, yes, ma'am.
You know? She also says that bullying is not cool. And, it's not. And for me to tell anyone that, suck it up. I know what I went through as a child, and I know that someone has to stand up. Parents, we need to stop ignoring our children. We need to stop. We need to stop letting everything go. Don't give your children the four or five-finger hand flicker. It doesn't work that way. And Faith A. Believer, she shared, Stop Bullying Now, a resource website sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that addresses the warning signs of bullying, how to talk about bullies, how to report bullies, and cyberbullying. It offers a 24-hour help hotline for victims at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. People, get involved. You don't have to sit here. How many more children or human beings will we have to lose because of bullying? How many before people understand that this is not a they problem? This is a we problem. Sooner or later, that drama will come to your door. Either you're the parents of the bully, or you're the parents of the child being bullied. And, you know, for me, I understand that my mother's still scared of air, much less everything else. She wasn't going to take up for me because she couldn't take up for herself. But that's when we need to make sure, as you said, the community organizations, the schools, and religious organizations even, they need to make sure that we as the community know that these resources are available for us in the event we have no one in our corner.
Definitely. And I've got our page is going to be up for the Fearless Poets Against Bullying book as of, I think it's April the 11th. Yes, April the 11th it's going to be up. And so it's going to actually have a resource page as well for people to go on there. And actually, you know, there's different communities online too, to where you can go and actually talk to people that have either been in that situation, talk to parents that have been, you know, on both sides of it, like you said, the parents of the bully or the one being bullied, and get insight, and, you know, they can direct you into what you need to do.
Right. And, you know, this is a great topic because Faith A. Believer, again, she's on it in the events chat in Facebook. She's put up several programs for children and teens. Teens Against Bullying. It's created to help teens learn about bullying, how to appropriately respond to it, and how to prevent it. Another is Kids Against Bullying. This program was created to help elementary school children learn about bullying and, of course, how to respond to it appropriately and how to prevent it. And Stomp Out Bullying is a national anti-bullying and cyberbullying program for kids and teens. And the National Youth Advocacy Coalition is an organization for young people as well. They have the Trevor Project, a national organization that provides crisis intervention and suicide prevention for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth. They also offer the Trevor Lifeline, a 24-hour national crisis and suicide prevention hotline for LGBTQ youth. The number is 1-866-4-U-TREVOR. That's 1-866-4-U-T-R-E-B-O-R. And that's another issue. That's, you know, so many people now are up in arms over the gay and lesbian issues out here nowadays, and so many people are jumping on that bandwagon of let's just hate, 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 hate. It is absolutely disturbing to me that so many people are just jumping on this bandwagon to hate people because of who they love or who they choose to be with. You know, throughout history, we've had to deal with some type of bullying, but it just appears that, well, let's go back a little bit, because I think a lot of people are under the impression that this is something brand new, when the only difference is we have more media venues to bring it to the forefront. But yes, bullying has been around since...
It has been around a long time. It's been around forever.
Yes, it has. You know. And do you feel as though, we're making any headway in this fight? You know, a lot of people, some people feel as though we've come a long way in other issues, from racism to being acceptance of the same-sex issues and things like that. Do you see where there's a huge difference? Not a huge difference, just to say a difference coming now. Are there more parents getting involved in communities? Do you see more communities and other organizations getting on the bandwagon?
I do. There are a lot of, just to name a few, you know, the ones that she mentioned, but there's many other organizations out there in the community that are trying to, you know, change this, to create activism on it. And I do see an improvement. I do see an improvement, but I think it also has to start, again, like we talked about earlier, with the parents and with the schools, you know, and with the workplaces. And that's one of the reasons why I want to get involved so much, you know, directly involved with those people. Because, again, they say, oh, it's nothing. You know, we've got to get it out there that it is something, and it can turn to something even worse. You know, bullying, you know, is just the start of it. And then it can turn into abuse. It can turn into, you know, the suicides that we're seeing from it. And, you know, if you read into a lot of the suicides that come from it, the parents are saying, oh, well, we knew it was going on. You know, but we didn't think anything of it. We didn't think anything of it. You know, we thought everything was okay. You know, and so we've got to get them involved to where they know, you know, they know the things to look for. You know, they know what's going on in their child's life. And two, you know, when children get home from school, instead of having them run off and do their own thing, to take time with our kids, to sit down and actually talk to them about what's going on, you know, because sometimes I know life gets so hectic to where we're like, oh, yeah, get your homework done, let me get dinner done. But take that time with your kids to actually know what's going on at school, you know, and to give them that trust to where they're going to you as the parent, not as, you know, not to someone at school, not to one of their friends, you know, to where everybody else knows what's going on except you.
Right.
And so, you know, that's one of the things I believe that would definitely help it to be better. But I think we have grown, but I think we have a long way to go as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wanted to elaborate on is the fact that, like you said, so many parents, and I'm finding that a lot of people that I've come across, they suffered some type of trauma or incident in their childhood, and they end up growing up, and they want to relive what they missed through their children. So a lot of parents have their children in all these different sports and other programs because it's what they missed out on, and they didn't have enough self-confidence to do when they were younger. So they're living through their children, but in the meantime, the children have no voice because they made their children drones. So the children are drones at home, and the parents don't know what type of hell, and we'll just call it what it is, they may be going through when they're outside of the home setting. So again, you know, parents, our time has come and gone. We can pick up where we are and live our lives. We can play on adult leagues and do all of the things that we missed as children, but we do. As you said, you know, just elaborate on how important the art of communication, but even more so, the art of listening, not just hearing your children talk, but listen to what they're saying. And have you noticed, or do you have a list of the warning signs that we can look for? You know, we always talk about when children are on drugs, we know that their behavior changes. But what are some of the warning signs, other than children coming home trying to tell their parents what's going on? Are there any warning signs that we should be looking out for in our children especially?
Definitely. You know, it starts with the physical things, you know, such as, you know, unexplainable injuries, you know, to your child. And I actually had, before I go any further on that one, I want to talk about a girl that I had met not too long ago. They came up to me and pulled down her shirt, and she had bruises going all the way down her chest. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's going on? And she said, well, at school they don't like my hair. And it was a very beautiful girl with gorgeous hair. Gorgeous hair. And she said, they don't like my hair. And they end up, every time they see me, they hit me. And the mother had came and she said, you know, I've tried to tell the school. I've tried to tell them. And they just, and their response to her was, well, have her change up how she does her hair. Have her change up, you know, how she looks, and maybe that'll help. And I think that that's kind of a crazy solution to it.
Right.
But that is one of the signs of it is, you know, unexplained injuries, especially from little children, from smaller children. Maybe items that they should have came home with that maybe a child has taken away at school, or something that, you know, of theirs that's been destroyed. You know, such as their clothing, books, any of that. Another thing, too, is their change in eating habits. You know, suddenly skipping meals, not feeling well, even coming home from school hungry because they didn't eat lunch. You know, because either someone, you know, made them give their lunch money away, you know, took their lunch money from them, or because they didn't attend lunch because they didn't want to be faced with this person.
Right.
Difficulty sleeping, having nightmares, declining grades or loss of interest in school is another big one. You know, because of what's going on with their, you know, the person that's bullying them, you know, they may not be focusing in school anymore.
Right.
They may not have the same drive, you know, and you notice it on some kids that have had, you know, they're an A-plus student now, all of a sudden they're making, you know, D's and F's.
Right.
And so you look at pretty much any change that's going on with them, you know, any big change. Another thing is, you know, especially in high school kids, is avoiding, you know, social situations. Avoiding, you know, they may not want to go to the school dance, the basketball game, you know, or even an activity that they've always been in and that they used to love.
Right.
And, you know, another thing is self-esteem. You may see their self-esteem start to decline with the bullying. So there's so many different things, and each child is different.
Mm-hmm.
Each child, you know, deals with bullying in a different way or deals with abuse in a different way. But if you notice a big change in that child or even in that adult, you know, even a friend that you know, you can start noticing signs if she's, you know, he or she's being abused in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, or even at work, you know, you'll start to notice changes. And so that's what you look out for, is any major changes in that person.
And Gina Hobson added in the Facebook events room, stopbullying.gov. You can check out the warning signs that
yes.
have been compiled by the United States government at stopbullying.gov. That's
yes.
www.stopbullying.gov/@-risk/warning-signs. Again, stopbullying.gov. Get all of the information that can help you to identify the signs of your child being bullied.
Yes, they are an amazing resource. They've got a lot of different things on their websites, on their pages. You know, they talk about cyberbullying, ways to prevent bullying. They have just a wealth of information on there.
And another hotline. Thank you so much to my fellow sisters, Tina Hobson and Faith A. Believer. They are really our troopers each and every week. I want to thank you all for stepping up. Sister Arlene Spann, I know that she's out there and she's supporting. But Sister Faith A. Believer writes, the Hope Line, 24-hour national suicide hotline. Since 1998, Hope Line has answered more than 3 million calls. They provide a life-saving service that is private and confidential for people in need. Calls are connected to the nearest crisis center. Their website is www.hopeline.com. That's www.hopeline.com. And their number is 1-800-SUICIDE. That's 1-800-SUICIDE. So call if you know someone, if you are someone. There are people waiting to help you, but you have to reach out for that help. You have to. And for those of you in the chat room and, of course, in the call query, there's a large number of you in the call query. If you have a question or comment, press the number 1 on your phone now. As I said, this will be an abbreviated show so that Ashley can get back to her sick daughter. And we can all try to recoup press the number 1 on your phone now to be on air, to share your comments and ask your questions, and of course to our guests in the chat room. If you are not logged in with a regular screen name, give us a call, 646-478-4726. Then press the number 1 on your phone to be on air, because if you are visiting as a guest, you cannot participate in the typed chat in the chat room. You have to be logged on. So give us a call, 646-478-4726. So, you know, where, I guess, another great question is, where do we go from here? What else, if anything, can a parent do right this second? If their children are home, it's raining here in Maryland. And I noted it's snowing out in Ohio, so a lot of parents may be home with their children right now. What can they get up and do right this second?
Right now, they can start to build, you know, the lines of communication with their child. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're sitting at home and you're with your children, talk to them. Ask them how their day at school was. You know, get involved. If you can attend events at their school, do so. You know, get involved with what they've got going on. And, you know, number one, you're building that trust up with them to where they can come to you and tell you what's going on. And, you know, again, you don't want their friends to be the ones that know everything about, you know, their situation. You want to be the one. And so
right.
Start building that relationship now, and especially if you have younger kids, so that when they get to be teenagers, you're the one that they go to and say, hey, look, mom or dad, this is what's going on in my life right now. This is what's happening at school, you know, and to where you're aware of it. And don't take things, you know, so lightly. Listen to what they're saying and show them, you know, that you'll stand up for them so that they're not trying to find someone else who will and in the wrong way.
Right. Right. And in the chat, in the Facebook events chat, Shauna Gunther Steffens, she posted 10 steps to stop and prevent bullying. Whether you're a parent, an educator, or concerned friend of the family, there are 10 steps you can take to stop and prevent bullying. Number 1, pay attention. Number 2, don't ignore it. Number 3, when you see something, do something.
Amen.
Number 4, remain calm. Number 5, deal with, if it's in a student or class situation, deal with students individually. Number 6, don't make the students involved apologize and or shake hands on the spot. A lot of people tend to do that, and that just really has never worked as far back as I can remember. Hold bystanders accountable. I like that one. Hold bystanders accountable. Listen. Once again, we just talked about this. Listen and don't prejudge. And get appropriate professional help. Become trained to handle bullying situations. It's important to learn the proper ways to address bullying. Visit www.nea.org/bullyfree for more information and to find other resources. Bully free. It starts with you and me. Let me say that again. Bully free. It starts with you and me. It's as simple as that, people. Stop waiting for someone else. So many times we turn the other cheek and we ignore things that do not apply to us. It's not my problem. It's not bothering me. But sooner or later, it will come to your door. Tina Hobson, right, there's help for the victim. What help is there for the abuser is her question. What help is there for the abuser? Do you have any information on that, Ashley?
I really think, and that was, again, one of the reasons why I wanted to start this organization and everything, is I really think that there needs to be help for, you know, the person doing the bullying or the abusing. Mm-hmm. And there's not as much help as there is for the one being bullied. And so that's something that I've been working on, again, here in the area, is trying, like I said, to get the support group and everything going to where we not only accept the people that are being bullied, but the person doing the bullying. Because, again, like I told you when I talked to that guy, he said, I did it because this is what I've been through. That's what I've been through, and I wanted to feel the power and everything. The person doing the bullying usually mm-hmm. has, in my understanding of what, you know, of what I've seen, has less confidence than even the one that's being bullied, because mm-hmm. they want that power. They want to gain that power. And if we can, you know, empower these people to gain confidence and self-esteem in themselves, then we'll, you know, stop this chain that keeps happening. You know, I was right. bullied as a child. You know, now I'm going to, you know, or I was abused as a child. Now I'm going to abuse someone else. And then that someone, one day down the line, you know, bullies or abuses someone else. And it's really a you know, chain of power. These people mm-hmm. finally want to gain power in their lives, and they do it by what they've been taught or what's happened to them. And so we definitely need more support on the abusers, you know, right. for them to be able to get more help. Because I've been asked that before, and I've looked it up, and there are, you know, a few different programs. I don't have it in front of me, but there's not as much as for the
there's
person
not.
Bullying.
I just did. I just Googled it, and there's not enough programs, and I think that
yes.
we've just touched on something that needs to come to the forefront and be addressed, because with all of these programs for the children who are being bullied, we still have children who are committing suicide. Maybe we need to expand that process to address, I guess we need to go back and address the beginning and stop putting as much emphasis on the middle and the end, because if we fix the starting point, we won't have to worry about the middle and the end thing point. If we fix the means, the end will become non-existent. We do have a caller on the line, caller 9174. You're on air. Welcome to Healing Through Hurt with my special guest, Ashley Love.
Thank you, Sweet Maria. It's Arlene Spann. How are you this evening?
Sister, we're all ill. Fortunately, it can't be contagious across the phone lines, but we are still blessed and favored, so we're good.
Great. I am so thankful for this topic on this evening. Thank you, Ashley, so much for sharing. And
No problem.
Thank you for the vision that you have, you know, having been a former educator with, you know, young children and even to the substitute level, you know, you are confronted with bullying almost daily from a child, maybe because of their background, or some maybe just because of their size. bullying others. And one question that I did have when you made the statement, not to take things lightly, what have you found in your working with others thus far? What have you found to be one of the better ways to approach the persons who have been the bullier? So they've been the persons who initiate the bullying. Have you saw anything that they were more receptive to, or is this just something right now that you're like, I heard they, you know, this, we need to have more people working with them, but have you seen or done anything or know anyone that have worked with the bulliers in such a way that they've had some form of a breakthrough with them?
I've seen it a few times since we started the organization. And I think, you know, kind of like we talk about our kids, if we don't give them the positive attention that they need, they go for the negative attention. And so if we can start communicating and showing positive attention to the one that's doing the bullying, then possibly we can, you know, help curb the bullying that's going on and kind of, you know, redirect them. And so one of the community programs that we have here, they actually, the school notifies the program and of any bullying that's going on, and the child is recommended to be in that program. And what they do is kind of like what I talked about before with the support group in the class I'm trying to teach, is they give the bullier a mentor and help them to kind of, you know, get positive reinforcement. Because, again, so many of them are from negative environments at home. They don't have that. And so if we can give them some positivity in their life, now it's not going to work with everyone. You know, it's not going to work with all of them. But it has worked with some, and we have seen a breakthrough with them actually, you know, not in just that area in their life, but they've started doing better in school. Mm. They've worked with the parents, again, to get them involved and to actually know what their child's doing. You know, when a child at home is not getting the attention they want, they're going to try to get it elsewhere. And so, you know, that's what we've seen, is that if we can give them that positive attention, maybe we can change things a little bit. But that's one of the things that I've seen that has helped, is to get them in with a mentor, somebody close to them that they can talk with, and they can discuss the feelings that they've, you know, that they've had or the situations that they've gone through, and help them build their self-esteem and their self-worth up.
Wow. Great. Thank you, Ash.
No problem.
We do have another caller coming on, caller 3412. 3412. I believe I know who this is, but welcome.
This is Tina Hobson. How are you? How are you?
Hi, Tina. How are you?
Okay, Ashley. Good evening, and I will continue to pray for all of our health and strength. I'm not going to even go into what I'm going into. Okay. But after typing my question in about treatment or profession or help for the abuser, I kind of like stir something up in my own spirit, because I became angry. That's exactly what happened. You know, there's drug and alcohol prevention. There's prevention of domestic violence. There's prevention of gambling addiction, all of these other addictions and diseases that are out here in the world. And with the prevalence of bullying, it saddens me that there aren't any identifiable or not many identifiable programs for those who are the bully. You know, because I refuse to believe that everybody that is a bully set out to be a bully. I know for sure nobody woke up one day and said, oh, I think, well, you know, when somebody asks you, what do you want to be in life? Oh, I want to be a bully.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't happen. That does not happen. Circumstances led to that. And I'm sure that most, if not all bullies, I'm not going to say all, but a lot, don't feel comfortable with being bullies. So, you know, I'm stepping out. You know, if there's anything that I can do to help bring about some type of programs for those who are not at ease with being who they are and want to, you know, come to have somebody to come to talk about this anonymous, you know, they've got 12-step programs for every daggone thing.
Yeah.
Okay, 12 for sex addiction, for everything, porno addiction, you know, everything. We need a program for these people who maybe anonymously, you know, don't want to be identified as bullies and get some help. How can I help you do that? Or how can we help each other make that happen? Because right now I'm pissed off.
It angers me too, you know, that we have help for everything else, like you said. Everything else, if there's a problem and you search it, you can find, you know, some kind of help on it. But there's really not that many resources for the bullier and, you know, for the bullier to get help and everything except for small community-wide things. So I think it would be awesome to create, you know, some kind of program, even if it's one of those, like you said, you know, one of the 1-800 numbers and stuff. We have them for, you know, if you're bullied, call this number. But what about, you know, hey, if you're, you know, the bully or the abuser and you want to change or you need to talk to someone, call this number.
Right, so they have these, you know, all the billboards. If you want to stop drinking, call 1-800. If you want to stop gambling, call 1-800. You know, bullying, I mean, this is a serious thing. And to put it on a billboard would bring great attention. You know, if you want to stop bullying, call 1-800, whatever, whatever.
Allow me to interject for a moment, because one thing is, if we're talking about the school level, first and foremost, we're talking about minors. So again, I know that in my nonprofit, we work with at-risk youth, but I discovered that didn't matter what I did with these problem children, we could have them on such a positive upswing. But if they're going home to the same environment, everything that we work towards, they then lose.
Right.
So I think that the program needs to, again, go back to the source. If these children are going home to parents who are going to ignore them, not going to work with them to help them change, to help increase their self-esteem, to realize their self-worth, we will be kicking rocks in sand, and we will probably dig a hole all the way to torment, because we're not going to get anywhere until we get these parents involved and to make these parents accountable at some level for the action of their minor children. The parents have to take responsibility. If the school continues to call you and they say your child is in the office again for bullying someone else, and you say, I don't believe my child would do that. Okay, somebody has to be wrong. That's number one. That parent needs to be dealt with. If that person says, I can't do anything with my child. Okay, then that lets us know we need to get that parent into some type of a parenting program and get them some parenting resources so that they will then learn how to deal with their child. So this program has to be all-inclusive. We're not just talking about the bullies. You know, this is just at the minor level. When we're talking about minor children, anyone who's under the legal age is still a minor. So we have to fix these homes and the parental homes that they're going back to, because they can be great when they leave our session. And if they go home and they want to share what they've learned in that session in the parent, like my mother used to do, give me the four-finger flicker.
Yes.
They lose it. It's all gone.
It's gone.
And then
everything
they're frustrated.
Right.
They're frustrated. And they go back to school the next day, and they take out their frustrations all over again. So that's where
of course, you know, it was a program like I'm talking about would have to have parental approval. And that is the point, you know, in the prevention stages, especially with minors, that would bring the parent into it. Because if a child is passionate enough about wanting to change, hopefully, you know, in any situation, drug abuse, whatever, they can bring that awareness to their parents in a lot of cases. Again, like Ashley said, it's not going to happen with all because that's, you know, that's just not realistic. But just to have if they go home and they're being bullied, or if they go home and they're being ignored, hopefully there needs to be a safe place where they can come back to, no matter what's going on in the home. They need to know that there is somewhere where they can talk about what's going on, you know, going on with them.
And
right.
Somebody that will actually listen to them.
Absolutely.
You're right.
And that's where the initial program comes into play. We're taking care of these children on that end. But at some point, this program has to be all-inclusive. If it means one program, if it's a once-a-week program, the parents must come to at least one of the meetings.
Right.
They have to be involved because I work with these kids all the time. No matter what we do, if they go home to that brokenness, remember, children's minds aren't as developed as that of an adult. Their reasoning is not as advanced as so-called most adults should be. So at some point, before I got divorced, since my ex was a contractor, I had gotten some of his friends and people involved to go into these homes and fix up these children. We had a program to fix up their bedrooms to make it their own personal place that they could love. They could go to hide. They could go to find peace. We did it up, you know, if they wanted a whole new setup in the room, fresh coat of paint, whatever it took to give them their safe haven within their volatile home situation. That helped some, but it didn't really change a lot until the parents were made accountable and they really got involved. That's where I noticed the biggest difference and the differences that became lasting change was when the parents, or at least one of the parents, if it's a multiple parent home, got involved. We have to also fix some of these parents, because when you really think about it, if you ever look at some of the parents that you see on the news, especially when their child has committed suicide or something, or you talk to, I know here, when they show the parents of the bullies, and sometimes I want to choke the parents because they're just as ignorant as their child is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So it's got to be an all-inclusive program that includes phases that, you know, are there for the child, because the child is the primary object of the program, but these parents need to be held accountable for what their children are doing. And that's one of the biggest things in schools. How many times here, it was just the other day, this wasn't bullying per se. Well, it was actually. Young lady cut off all of her hair. One of her classmates had has cancer, and she had gone through chemo and lost all her hair. And kids were picking on her. They were bullying her. So her classmate cut off all her hair to stand in solidarity with her and to help her friend increase her self-esteem. And the adults running the school put her out because the school has strict rules that you will not have a fully shaved head. And they expelled her. So, you know, this program is so crazy. So the school is saying, don't cut off your head to make this girl feel better because she's being bullied. Then to me, the administrators at the school are not only condoning the bullies, but they become bullies themselves.
Yeah.
So this is something where, Ashley, you may need to take your program to Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Because
there's a problem
here. You know, I don't know if you're a 501c3, but if you are, and that's your thing, or you can pair up with advocacy nonprofits who specialize in going to Capitol Hill.
Right.
Because we need people who are there in the government where they can make these changes. But these schools have to change because, to me, the schools are also bullying students. Just like you said.
Oh, they are. And, they're allowing it to
change
your
hair. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean,
we had a
girl that got suspended. They had banned any jackets with hoods because they were having problems with the kids. And so they ended up, she only had one jacket. Her family couldn't afford anything else. And she wore it to school. And they ended up suspending her the first time. And then I believe after that she ended up getting expelled from the last I heard on it and was told she couldn't come back to the school. And she had even told them, well, we can't afford anything else. And it was like, well, if you can't, you know, comply with our policies, it doesn't really matter, you know, if your family can or cannot afford it. This is what our policy is. And either you deal with it or you're out. And it's just, it's really sad. I mean, I see so many circumstances all the time, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it's in everywhere. Like I said, it's not just the kids in the school. There's situations
right.
with the teachers. And then it's in the home. And
mm-hmm.
you've got the parents. There's parents bullying kids. You know, there has to be, you know, a way that we can change each area, that we can
right.
implement something in each area to make it, you know, to make it better. And
right.
that's why I started where I started with the organization. And, you know, we're just going to keep pushing forward, you know, to trying to make change in these different areas.
Right. And as Sister Tina said, and I'll go as far as I'll join, you know, when we get into the laws of nonprofits, we're not approved to be an advocacy group, but we can certainly support your cause. So
Definitely. That
in itself, you know, you have warriors jumping on board. Sometimes it just takes one or a few to make a large change.
Yes.
So it's, again, this is a great show because it does. It makes you angry. It makes you angry. And we can do another show and talk about these school administrators and these asinine decisions that they're making where they're actually becoming a part of the problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are. And no one is addressing this outwardly right now. We hear the stupidity and the buffoonery that they're doing, but At no time have I heard where any of these clown administrators are being held accountable for their ridiculous decisions.
Yes.
And these children are suffering.
And see, Maria, Ashley, you know what I was thinking when you talked about the young student with the hood, and, you know, even at the administrative level, what if the thought would have been differently instead of them kicking her out of school, knowing the circumstances, coming in and saying, here is an appropriate jacket.
Right.
We understand. You know what I'm saying? We understand that your family can't afford it. So this is what the school does require, and this one is for you, as opposed to, well, you know, deal with it, get out of our school, you know.
Right. Just, they would rather, you know, kick someone out and mess up their life and, you know, have them be held back a grade. And, you know, it never talked about whether she was, you know, a good student or not, but, you know, if she made good grades or not. But you've got to think about that, you know. We're putting the administration of the schools are putting so many things on these kids and on these parents and everything, and trying to hold them accountable for either doing or not doing what they say. But just like you said a minute ago, who is holding them accountable? Who is saying, you know what, why are you implementing this? Why aren't you helping these kids?
Exactly.
You know, if you want this to happen, if you want, you know, no hoods in the schools, or you don't want, you know, it has to be a certain kind of shoes or a certain color of shoes, you know, or they have to have certain things when they come to school, and you see that they can't do that, then why not help them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the goodness of your heart, you're supposed to be in, you know, the education field to help these kids, not to tear them down. You know, and that makes it even worse, because how do you think that kid felt having to leave school and be made fun of and everything because her family couldn't afford, you know, the proper attire or whatever to wear to school?
But,
you know, it's just really sad.
It's sad, but then let's take it again a step further. Let's bring the legal aspect into this. Although schools may not be able to step in and provide these students with the clothing, I believe that the system should have a list of organizations that they can call or contact, or have the parents to contact, that can provide these students with the materials, with the care packages that they need. Some students may not be able to do their hair properly because they don't have the proper materials to do their hair. They may need a lot of things, but there are organizations out there, such as mine and others, who can help. But by law, the schools can't go in and buy the students their outfits, but darned if they can't dial 10 digits or 11 digits.
Right.
And contact someone who can. So these are the things that we can do. Reach out to the school boards and the systems and our congressmen and see about, is there a national database where these schools won't have an excuse but to tell a child, we don't care about you. Get out, because your parents can't afford to buy you proper clothing. We don't care. What does that do to the child's self-worth, self-esteem, self-image?
Right.
It totally annihilates it. So all we can do is fight for that. We can advocate for that. Why not? There's no law stating that they can't dial 10 digits and contact a local charity to help these children. There's no law. There are laws against them outright doing it themselves, but there are ways. Where there's a will, there's always
there's a
way.
Yeah.
Always. And these people are making mountains out of molehills, some things can be addressed and taken care of in a matter of minutes. We're sitting here right now. We are able-bodied people who can help some of these students, but nobody is reaching out. Schools would rather put out an A student and mess up their entire careers, their entire future, because some people think that they have arrived and it doesn't apply to them and they don't care.
Amen.
These are the issues that we need to go back again. Before we can fix the here and now, we have to go back to the beginning point. The beginning point is the school administrators. It's going home to these broken parents and homes. Sometimes, in order for us to fix the child, we have to fix the parent.
Yes.
We have to. It's not going to work otherwise. It's not. Having a few moments of peace is wonderful and well, but if they go home to that brokenness,
then
we drop right back down
again
to square one.
Yes. You know, and one of the things that we have in our area here, too, that's really nice, at least at my kids' school, is they have they've partnered with a church. There's a church across the street, and they've partnered with them so that any of the, you know, the needs of the kids or the kids' families that are in the school, they contact the church. And I've even seen, you know, the church bring the kids shoes or clothes if they need it, or food. And they also have a gift drive at Christmas to where they'll give them Christmas gifts and everything. You know, I wonder if that's not a possibility for more schools, is to help, you know, to work with, like you said, another organization or a church or something. And so if any of the kids need anything, they can, you know, they can contact them.
Right. And even here, so many times on the news, this is the latest thing here in this area, trying to get our religious organizations more involved in communities like they used to be in the days of old. Nowadays, you don't see a lot of the mega church people unless it's something that's newsworthy, where they can be in front of the cameras. They're not out in the community. They're not out walking and shaking hands with the people who support them and sit in their congregations every week. They don't do that anymore. And it's been a big drive here, especially in the Baltimore City area, for our religious leaders to get involved, to get people back into the communities. Because right now, we have so many people who are just existing lost out here in the world. We have to do something. And if that means we right here develop our own national network and we put out that call for people to get involved, then that's what we need to do.
Yes.
Because we can talk all day and wait for someone else to listen to this show and maybe not get involved, or we sitting right here can make the charge to start something. I don't know what, you know, but we can start something that works, because right now, I know for a fact, two of us that are on the open call right now, we're on air. We're in Maryland. We have another person in Ohio. And Ashley, you're in Louisiana.
Yes.
That's three states right there. And it looks like there are other states on the line as well. I don't know where all the area codes are from, but I see them, and I know that you're listening. If you want to get involved, press the number one on your phone. And all you have to say is your first name and what state you will be representing. Let's do something positive. We can make this happen. So many of us have worked hard to get our organizations off the ground, to get our businesses going. You know, some children are unhealthy. They're on weight. We have Arlene Spann here. Arlene Spann Sweats. She can help people. She can develop a program or something that parents can guide. Eating healthier. Getting children to like to drink more fluids to help them hydrate. Because when you're dehydrated, you tend to eat more. So the bottom line is simple.
Right.
We have a lot of talent within our own circles. We have a lot of talent. And I was just talking to Sister Faith A. Believer early and Sister Tina. I said there's certain people. We have our Marathon of Hope coming up, our Kingdom Movement. It's a movement. It's so much bigger than this. And so many of us who are key players, I see us out here right now. We're growing. We're getting bigger. We can network. This is just a side project outside of it. But I have met so many dynamic women. And we have this bond. We have this sisterhood. And it's forming. We can do so many things. It doesn't have to be a group effort. It can be a smaller, just a bunch of us getting together. Who wants to get involved? Just like we had so many. Sister Faith A. Believer, she put up all this wonderful information for people to find on resources to help them with the bullying and all of that. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You know, knowledge is only power when we act upon it. If you just have it and you do nothing with it, it's not powerful. It's powerless.
Wow.
Yes.
So, you know, and what's that adage? I think I shared it earlier today. You can bring a person to knowledge, but you can't make them think. The bottom line is simple. Sometimes there's nothing to think. It's just about doing it and how to make it work. Because one thing about social media, it brings so many of us together, but we are all over the place. And so what are local municipalities won't do in our school systems and things. The bottom line is simple. We can do it, and nobody can stop us. Nobody. So it just takes a little bit of logistics and doing a little bit of legalese and taking care of things, but we can do whatever we put our minds to. And that's the realization of it. And once again, I'm going to be quiet and let you all finish talking.
Yes, but we can definitely make a change. You know, like I said, this organization started with me and another lady sitting in a coffee shop. And, you know, it has grown to people. Like I said, I've got people overseas that are going to be part of the book. And some people that want to actually fly over and be part of an event. And so we're trying to, you know, come together with that and see what we can come up with. But, you know, it is definitely something that, you know, needs to be looked at and, you know, needs more support. And so another thing I wanted to say on the call is we're also Poets Against Bullying is going to be at the Neighborhood Awards hosted by Steve Harvey. We ended up getting an invitation for it. And so we're going to be out there the week of August 7th. And so we'll also have a booth at the expo for the awards as well. And on August the 9th is the award show. August the 7th, we're going to have an open mic night there in Atlanta. We're still working on the location for it, so we can finalize that. But we'll have the open mic night on the 7th. And so, you know, we're just working. We're just working towards, you know, creating the awareness on it.
Right. I don't know what part of Atlanta you're planning on being in, but I believe that there used to be a place at the Underground that sponsored a lot of the open mic events. If I find that information, I'll be sure to pass it along to you. But
that would be awesome.
Always look at a lot of the places at the Underground. That's right there in Olympic City. So definitely check that out, because there's a lot. The Underground is so cool to me. I love the Underground. So
I've never been there. As a matter of fact, I just got back from Atlanta doing some stuff on Poets Against Bullying, and I never got to see the underground or anything. I think I was at the convention center. I was at the convention center for the event. And then the Civic Center is where the awards are going to be at. So, I've heard a lot about the underground, so I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
See it one day.
Yep. So before we go, definitely tell people how to reach out to you if they want to get involved. Tell us everything again when the book is scheduled to come out. We've been posting it on Facebook, but let all of the listeners know, and definitely all the ways that they can get in contact with you.
Okay. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/writerAshleyL. And the book is coming out. It's Fearless Poets Against Bullying. It's going to come out on April the 30th. Starting April the 1st, there is an event page on Facebook already. If you go to facebook.com/poetsagainstbullying, there is an event page on there that you can join, and we're going to have a lot of different things going on. We've got hangouts every week with each of the authors that are part of the book, as well as a blog talk radio show, basically just introducing each of the author and, you know, a little bit about their story and why they chose to be part of the book. And the website of fearlesspoets.org will launch on April the, it's either the 11th or the 13th, I've got to confirm that. But if you keep checking back on that, we're going to have, again, information about the poets, information about bullying and the upcoming events we've got going on. And so it's just going to be awesome, and we really could use all the support that we can get right now.
Great. Well, I tell you, once again, all I can say is, wow, I'm in shock and awe every single week. Because it seems like our topics, our discussions just really appear to hit home over and over and over again. And, you know, Sister Tina Bard at home, I was trying to be very controlled and refined. But when she opened up the floodgates and she said that she was ticked off, you know, it just... brought it all to the forefront because, as I said, at my age, I know what it was like to be bullied, to have my lunch money taken, to, in order to keep my lunch money, not go to lunch. And my mother never noticed. I had lost all the weight, and I had an awful lot of money saved up. I just stopped eating, and I invested my money in other things, but, you know, toiletries and all types of things that I needed. Because I was avoiding things. And I spent my entire life that way, my entire childhood. Never had anyone to take up for me. I had a teacher, my sixth grade teacher, Sandra K. Brooks was her name. I'll never forget that. You know, back then, the descriptive word of hood rat was not to be heard of. But if it were, that's what she was, and she would join in, and she would pick on me, too. And my mother had gone up to the school one time, and my mother was so, she felt so inadequate. I know what it was now. I didn't know what I was seeing as a child, but I do now. She allowed the teacher to walk all over her, too. So I understand what bullying is all about. And I have a piece in my book that's out now. It's called Just Let It Go, how people just tell you, just forget about it, just ignore it, just let it go. Well, a lot of people can't do that. They grow up to become abusers. They grow up to become the rapists, the sociopath, the murderers, the bullies. They grew up to do it, and thus the vicious cycle continues. I was blessed enough to be able to wake up one morning and decide that I wanted to change for me. It was a do or die. It was change or die, literally. So I had to make that change and not go down that road. But a lot of people are not strong enough or don't have the knowledge to know how to even begin to take that journey in another direction. And it's a long, hard road. It really is. But again, for those of you on the line, if you'd like to get involved, you have Ashley's information. You can always reach any of us on the call. Sister Arlene Spann is here almost every single week. Sister Faith, a Believer, has a wonderful program as well. Everyone has a positive message. Sister Tina Hobson, everyone has a positive message, and many of us have a story. We either choose to become the hurt people who hurt people, or we make the conscious decision to become the hurt people who help to heal other people. So that's what this is all about. It's about the healing, not the hurting. So if anyone has any closing comments, because we're coming down the pike, we have a little more than 28 minutes, actually. So Sister Ashley, we actually made it through the entire show.
Yes. We didn't think we would, did we?
No, but once we start, and the emotions get to flowing, time tends to fly. So we're going to start off with Sister Tina. If you're on the line, feel free to give us some closing comments. And I see Sister Faith A. Believers in the chat room. If you have any closing comments or any of the people in our chat room, feel free to give us a call, 646-478-4726. This is something new that we started a few weeks ago because some people call them nuggets. I call them tidbits. If you got something out of tonight's program, feel free to share it. You can type it in the chat room or give us a call, 646-478-4726. Press the number 1 on your phone. Sister Tina, are you there?
I am here, and Ashley, I just want to thank you for literally getting out of your sick bed to be on the show today. It was what we needed, and the things we always get what we need on this show, and so many others. Topics come up that sometimes people are afraid to talk about, sometimes because they hit too close to home. And I'm just feeling this need to be transparent right now. As a child, as a youth in school and in grade school and junior high school, I was a bully. And again, it wasn't because I wanted to be. It was for my own safety because I was being bullied, and in order to have that pressure and that abuse taken off of me, I had to become one of my abusers or a group of my abusers. And every single day I felt so uncomfortable. I felt diseased. I was not at ease with myself. I didn't want to let anybody know because if I did, I'd get beat up. You know, I often think about one particular girl that I just terrorized, and today I pray for her. I just think about it all the time, and I ask God for forgiveness and hope that maybe one day I'll see her again and forgive her, you know, ask for forgiveness face to face. But right now I just have to give it to God. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, this topic, I was so passionate about it because I wanted help, but I didn't know. I didn't have anybody to go to say, I don't want to be like this. But they're making me be like this. If I don't beat somebody up, I'm going to get beat up or worse. I grew up in Chicago. They didn't play. Okay, and this was in the 60s, early mid-60s when I was in elementary school. So this subject is very important. And Ashley, if there's anything that I can personally do to help you in your endeavors and your projects, please let me know.
Thank you so much for your support and for your transparency on talking about, you know, what you went through and on the other side of it. You know, thank you so much.
And before we move on to our next Sister Arlene, I'd like to say that, you know, when we come together and there's something to be said about transparency, because I was the one being bullied. I was the abusee, not the abuser. Yet, Sister Tina and I can stand side by side and fight this issue together now. You know, a few weeks ago, I had on a guest, and he was the domestic violence abuser, me being a survivor. You know, again, we could sit down and we can join forces to fight that ugly situation, because abusers are also bullies. And when you walk by faith and you, for whatever reason or however we have come through this, and that's probably a show for another day, we know that we can find strength in each other's transparency and each other's stories. So, you know, for all of the listeners, this is not some, here I go with my sayings again, but some feel-good foo-foo show. The bottom line is, we're bringing this to you from our hearts, our spirits, and our souls. We have been there, done that, on one end or the other, and some people have played dual roles. But this is not something that we're reading from a textbook that we heard through hearsay. We have lived this in one form or another. We've lived it. So we know what you're going through. So just remember to reach out. We are here for you. So with that said, Sister Arlene Spann, do you have any closing comments for our listeners this evening and words of encouragement for Sister Ashley?
Yes, thank you, Steve Maria. Thank you, Ashley. Ashley, I am just so elated at how you looked at the actionable first steps that you could take, and you saw that there was a need and something that needed to be done. And I heard you say, just sitting at a table, just sitting there, and two of you coming together to make a decision to do something. And from that, now listening to you stating what's going to be transpiring in August as far as the, you know, the open mic and all the things that you're going to be doing. So I applaud you for taking that first step, because had that first step not have been taken, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation tonight, and maybe the help or the offer to help and assist wouldn't have been there, and maybe there wouldn't have been the lives that have been changed and that will be changed because you made a decision to make a step and then not just talk about it, but move forward into action with it. So I appreciate that. And like what Sister Tina said and Sister Steve Maria said, if there's anything that Arlene can do to help, and I live right here near the Capitol, so if there's anything that I can do to help, I open my arms and I open my heart so that we can, and I'm saying we, yes, I just said it, so that we can make the difference in each state, as Sister C. Maria so put out there, that all of us, state by state, can do whatever we can to stop the bullying, not just in the schools, but like C. Maria, like you said, from the parent and even the administrative level. So thank you for this topic tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. And I'm actually going to be in Maryland and in D.C. In May for 2 weeks, starting on the 15th. So I would love to get in touch with y'all while I'm there, and maybe we can come up with something.
Great.
Amen.
We will share contact information, of course, offline and private messages, and we'll be sure to make it happen and get together and make some great things happen. But tonight, if there's anyone else who would like to leave any parting words for those of you in the call query, press the number 1 on your phone. And I'll bring you on air. Let me make sure there's no more comments in the chat room or in Facebook. And I don't believe, oh wait, maybe we do. Give me a minute. Oh my goodness. This is wonderful. We have some people that have put up your Facebook page.
Awesome.
And Sister Tina posted a article from Red Book Magazine, Health and Wellness Advice. I was a bully. Adult bullies apologize. Let me just put this, actually, I'll copy this and put it in the group chat room as well. But this looks like a good article. Just do a Google search for those of you listening to I Was a Bully, Adult Bullies Apologize. It's a Red Book Magazine article, and it's in their health section. So if you look up Red Book Magazine, and then you put in the title, I Was a Bully, Adult Bullies Apologize, you will probably be able to find this particular article. So thank you, Sister Hobson, for sharing.
Yes, thank you. I'll definitely have to check that out as soon as we get off.
Most definitely. I'm going to read it as well. So, once again, before we go, Sister Ashley, we'll leave you again to let everyone know all of your contact information so that our listeners now and beyond will be able to reach out to you if they choose to do so.
Okay, well, first off, I want to give a shout-out to Koya and Yvette. They are two amazing ladies that are helping me get everything for the Fearless Poets Against Bullying book together, and so I want to thank them for that. And I also want to thank all of you, C. Maria, Arlene, Tina, Faith A. Believer. Y'all are amazing. You know, I see all that you do on Facebook. And, you know, you are all truly wonderful women. And, you know, I'm so proud to have you all in my circle. The website is going to be fearlesspoets.org. And so that'll have all the information on the upcoming events and on all of the authors that are in the Fearless Poets Against Bullying book. That will be released April the 30th. You can go to facebook.com/fearlesspoetsagainstbullying, and that is the event page, and the Facebook page is facebook.com/poetsagainstbullying, and you can also follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/writerashleyl, or you can email if you have any questions or you need assistance on bullying or any of the surrounding topics we've talked about tonight, you can email me at poetsagainstbullying@gmail.com. And I just want to thank you so much, C. Maria, for having me on the show. Again, it has been a long time coming, but I'm just, you know, we've had an amazing conversation. And I thank you, you know, for bringing me on to talk about such an important topic.
Thank you so much for believing enough in, of course, me and this particular venue to be my special and honored guest. And as always, thanks to my power pack powerhouse of sisters, Arlene Spann, Tina Hobson, and Faith A. Believer, a.k.a. LaTanya Boyd, by the way. I'm so used to calling her Faith A. Believer, I never or rarely call her by her proper name. But thank you so much, ladies. And Sister Marcella D. Moore, I see she's in the chat room. Thank you so much for being here, my sister. And thank you for all the prayers earlier today. I'm going to be going back to bed shortly. And I'm sitting up here rocking back and forth. But as I said earlier, the show must go on. And once again, in God, an awesome program director. Oh, my gosh. I just love him so much. I tell you, this
Amen.
Has been a God-awesome show. As always. As always. Thank you to all of our listeners in the call query. And once again, before we go, as always, I'm sure all of the ladies would like to join me in praying each and every one of you enough. We want to pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. And we also want to pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And we'd like to pray you enough smiles to turn that frown you've been carrying around. Tina Hobson said it earlier today, but turn that frown upside down. But most of all, we'd like to pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. So until next time, I'm C. Maria Wall, your most gracious and appreciative host. Tonight, my special guest has been Ashley Love. And a special shout out to all of my sisters in survival, strength, and struggle, Arlene Spann, Tina Hobson, Faith A. Believer, Marcella Moore. Thank you so much for being here, and all of you who joined us in the chat room and in the call query. Be well, be blessed, and remember to do what? Pay it and pray it forward. So until next week, actually I'll be back here at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for a Sunday morning inspiration. And of course, we will be back next week. Sister Tina, I believe we're back on schedule for Friday night for our regular faith and praise.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. We will be back then. And then Saturday night with another dynamic program right here on Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well, be blessed. Ladies, as always, I'll see you in our after chat on the Facebook events page. Until then, we're going to end with one of our favorite songs, our new song choice for this season. This is Good Music by Tori Lee. Great sister on a mission. Be looking out for her on the Grammys because she's going to get one day. And this is our opening and closing song pick of the season, Good Music by Tori Lee. Enjoy, and we will see you soon.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh. Listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide.
Please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer's day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I'd give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug out bone, triple shots, that's the trace.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh,
this concludes our broadcast evening. We are out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good night, everybody. Remember to pay it and pray it forward. I will see you back here again soon. Have a great remainder of your Saturday and the rest of your weekend.